Now, if you will turn for our responsive reading this morning to your Bibles, and if you don't have your Bible with you, I pray you do, but if you shouldn't, or you've come in as a visitor this morning, it's page 160 toward the back of the Pew Bible. Romans 6, the 1st to the 14th verses. Here's a blessed and wonderful portion of God's Word. For there was an inclination on the part of the Jewish believers, and of course, with the legalistic system of old, to believe that since grace was so tremendous, the grace of God, that the more sin, the more grace. Now, this would be a very convenient thing for the human heart to believe so. To believe that the best way to see how much grace God will give is to see how much sin you can sin. But God is making sure that we understand here certain things about the grace of God. Notice how this portion goes. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
God forbid. How shall we ever get to sin, living any longer in it?
Do you remember those portions that I mentioned in Romans, in the 6th chapter, other portions, and in the 7th chapter, and in the 8th chapter, that we have been made dead to sin by the body of Christ? That we have been made dead to the law by the body of Christ. That we are new creatures in Jesus Christ. There's a new life that has come into us. So that we are no longer under the old covenant. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Shall we continue in sin? For the law could make no one perfect, but the coming in of a better hope did. It was Christ and Him alone who could change things in our lives. And so there's victory now possible in our lives. Remember, there is no joyous Christian who is defeated. Don't let anybody ever tell you there are joyous Christians who are defeated. They may be somewhat happy about their personal lives. That's another matter. I'm not talking of that. You can have money and possessions and all these things and be reasonably happy, but never talk of the joy of the Lord. You can only know the joy of the Lord, remember, as there is victory in your Christian life. Because if there's defeat, the Holy Spirit is grieved. And you can't have a grieved spirit and a happy body. They just don't go together. Happy mind. And so, the only possibility of the joy of the Lord is victory. If you don't have victory, don't worry about joy. You worry about getting the victory first. And when you get the victory, joy will come, you see. Oh, it's tremendous, tremendous. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth He shall not serve sin.
Now you see, as he works it out, the whole principle here. How would it be possible? We're also in the likeness of His resurrection. Resurrection life does not allow for following after sin. Resurrection life demands that the affections be placed on things above where Christ dwells, you see. This is it. Get your mind, your heart on things above where Christ dwells. Have all the riches of Christ in your heart. This is the only way a married life, a father and mother, sons and daughters can be joyous in the Lord. People who have no joy don't know victory over sin and the defilements. Remember, it tells us, sin shall not have dominion over us, for we are not under the law, but under grace. So if you don't have the victory today, don't look for joy. You'll be miserable, and I hope you will. I don't want anybody to try to be happy while you're living in sin. I want you to be miserable until you cry out to your Savior to deliver you. And like David of old, when he confessed his sin, then he said, "Now restore unto me the joy of my salvation." You see? The joy. That's what we want, the joy. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I don't want to comment on every verse, so we'll never, you know, like I do on Sunday sometimes. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Now, what's the first word of the next verse? All right? Exactly the same. Likewise. Notice what it says. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin. Now, anybody that says you can be lost and saved can't understand what they're talking about. If I am in exactly the same position as Jesus, that's what the scripture says. Dead what? Unto sin. Can sin therefore condemn you? Can sin condemn a dead man? Do you put men before judges who are dead? You cannot. You cannot. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be what? Dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can read that 12th verse. You see the tremendous thing? He says, don't you understand? Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. Thank you, God. And what does he say next? You know, see, now he says, don't let sin reign in you. You see? He says, don't think it's gone, but I'm telling you what I want you to do. This is my grace. I want you to reckon yourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'll read the 13th verse. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And let us read the 14th together. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. May God add his blessing to this precious portion of his holy word.